This podcast is brought to you by High Five Tom, a proud family member of
Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
And honored to be part of
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Revelry with Will and High Five Tom.
And then maybe you just say hi to him if you can, if possible.
It's impossible. It's impossible to say hi. Hi, Tom. Wish you were here. You have a good friend, Sarah, who's bought you this limited edition, one of only a couple left here in Winnipeg, and Manitoba.
Also, he does have a podcast. He talks about you all the time. He talks very highly of you on there.
That's good.
So I just wanted to join me, give you one of those.
Fantastic. Yeah. Thank you, Tom.
3, 2. Oh, I guess we're recording. Well, what up, High Fivers? It's your boy, High Five Tom. And I've got on the line here, Derry, New Hampshire's own, Will Mercer. Will, how are you tonight, my friend?
Tom, I'm officially 1 foot in the grave, it's over the hill. Got my CPAP machine in the mail today. And let me tell you, nothing, if I had any concerns about my appeal to the opposite sex beforehand, or the same sex even, I think the CPAP is definitely the nail in that coffin.
Well, it's a good thing you don't have to worry about those kind of things, so.
I mean, if it might not have been so bad if I could have probably gotten away with just the nose piece, but the wife and the doctor said I probably need the full face mask, so I take your pick. Do I look like Predator? Do I look like Bane?
Bane. Let's stick with the Batman theme.
Do I the doctor, his go-to is Top Gun? Do you want to look like Tom Cruise?
Now let's go with Bane.
Your mother.
Speaking of which, Tom Hardy, that is one dude I would love. I mean, he seems like I'd really like to hang out with that guy.
He's an interesting dude.
Yeah.
The list, his oeuvre of work. It's interesting.
Yeah, you never watched Peaky Blinders, did you?
I've seen a little bit of it because Brittany's watched it.
Okay. Do you ever see any stuff with him in it?
Yes.
Oh, God, it's just fucking great.
He was great in what the hell is it called? The Revenant?
I haven't seen it yet. It's on HBO, I think.
We saw that one in theaters. And that's a movie where people complained it was long. But I think it was done on purpose, like, because it does feel long. But I'm like, I think they did that on purpose. It's not long because it's necessarily like a bad thing. I think it was like an artistic choice to make the movie feel like, yo, this is like, because you're supposed to be like in it.
Yeah. Well, you know what was not long, Will? Was our pre-production. I think we've hit a new record. We started recording 10 minutes into this call.
Well, we're also starting recording
an hour and a half late.
Hour and a half later than usual.
Hold on, me. I had to go run an errand for one of I had to get some show posters for Tommy for
I was gonna say you mentioned posters. So were you out fucking plastering posters around town?
No, not quite yet. I had to go pick up said posters.
Street team.
That's coming up though. But I don't want to reveal anyone's details yet. But yeah, soon, Will. Soon. I had to go down to good old Credahe, pick those up. So Jack was in training at the good old Thumper's Den. But Yeah, but we're recording. Yeah, it's Wednesday night. You know, it's been 5 days. So, and Smokus is looking at me like she wants to eat my face. You have food in your bowl, kiddo. I had some weird dreams about her, so I should be nicer to her. I love you, Smokus. I love my cats. I'm a proud cat dad.
Same.
But Will, before we get too far into this broadcast, we only do have one question of dishonor from the newest member of the Shining Wizards podcast. It's now official. I assume this has been a thing for a while.
It's it's got to be. It's something that the writing was on the wall, right? You know, started with the notes.
I don't know. Let me look.
It's getting access to the Twitter account to like live tweet about AEW stuff. All the writing was there. I mean, and there's not too many people who come onto the show and even make the Shiny Wizards go, oh, if maybe he might need to tone this down a little.
Yeah. Well, I texted you and Mom. I texted you and Mom the password for this.
So, an on-air congratulations to the third man for becoming the fifth man.
Looking, did you delete your and Mom's
tech? Of course I did. Hi, Will. Sorry for the interruption.
It's all right. This is what the people love. We're live, pal.
We are live.
Faith's a floating head.
Yeah, she wants to get caught up on her
Deadpool.
Deadpool. Did I take a picture of it? Yeah, so obviously congratulations to Brennan. Well-deserved. You know,
right. He sent us a sappy fucking message about how it's like it's all thanks to us. Like,
no, it's all thanks to what?
So it's all thanks to us. He dipped his toe into podcasting with us. We gave him the boost he needed.
Nah, yay.
I mean, we'll take it, right? We'll take the credit for that, but I don't know if we can really take the credit for that. Like I said, I feel we both feel like this was a long time coming.
Yeah, and well deserved.
Which is so. I was listening to the 700th episode, and Brandon was walking through the room, and they had a point where they touched the oh yeah. I think it's like, is that why you say oh yeah? I was kind of like, oh yeah.
Very, very true. Well, Will, while I'm looking for this password for my wife,
my wife,
why don't we do I passed it
right here.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
We really had to write all our passwords down somewhere.
I think there's an exclamation point to the eye. But it's not on there, so I'll try that. Well, let's do our first time high fiver. Personal friend of High Five Tom, although I don't know if I want to admit to that, but Mr. Nikki Clamp sent in his first question.
I can't think of that name without thinking of Nipple Clamps. I don't know if he did that on purpose, but
probably.
Thank you. You're welcome. It is an exclamation point, by the way.
Okay.
So that password you sent Mom is wrong.
Sweet. Well, I got her set up anyways. But he basically was asking if Michael Elgin is the worst Ring of Honor champion of all time.
I'm pretty sure his wording might have been, besides being a piece of shit.
Yeah, former We Love Wrestling alum. I say no.
I mean,
vehemently.
I mean, in kayfabe, right? We're still early on. We haven't seen the breadth of Michael Elgin's title reign yet, and there are many more title reigns to come. I mean, he is the 19th person for the 20th total reign.
Yeah, because we got Loki, we got Xavier. Xavier definitely kind of underrated, not someone you would associate with Ring of Honor, but
he's a guy who I know the name, but I don't think I've ever seen an Xavier match unless it was on one of the shows that we watched with like Kyle or something.
Yeah, I saw he was on that Era of Honor Begins that I watched with Phil. But obviously we got Samoa Joe, we got Austin Aries, we got CM Punk, we got James Gibson, Bryan Danielson, you know, 462 days, Homicide, Morishima, Nigel, Jerry Lynn, Kyle's favorite, Austin Aries, Tyler Black, Roderick Strong, Eddie Edwards, Davey Richards, Kevin Steen, and Jay Briscoe. And we don't have
Adam Cole, maybe.
There's no double ups there. So I think he's just the 19th. I'm trying to do this without looking. Okay. Not looking. Because I know who he loses it to. So and then Jay Lethal got Adam Cole.
He said it on they said it on commentary on one of the events that he's the 19th champion for the 20th title reign. Did CM Punk or Samoa Joe have a second reign?
No.
No?
Yeah. So Rush and PCO, we got Bandito. Matt Taven, some people would definitely consider the worst Ring of Honor champion. Your boy Jonathan Gresham, Claudio. And then I don't know. I think our vote, you know, is Chris Jericho.
Well, 100%. I mean, even Bandito did what he could with it.
Oh, Austin Aries did have it twice. I'm sorry. You're right.
Austin Aries had it twice. Man, fuck that guy too. Yeah, Le Champion, Le Ocho.
Yeah.
I get why they did it. I'm not mad that Chris Jericho wound up with that on there as well. Would it have been a better reign if he had had it back in more like Ring of Honor Prime? It probably would have been a better reign. But we're already sour on Chris Jericho, already sour on Tony Khan's Ring of Honor.
Yeah, it's, you know. So, I mean, PCO, I mean, I love PCO, the character, but his reign was, I mean, there was a pandemic issue in there, obviously.
Yeah, I would say, because I haven't seen a lot of these, so it's one of those things where my frame of reference is slim, so.
Yeah, it's obviously not Jonathan Gresham, because we love Jonathan Gresham, so.
I would never say Jonathan Gresham is the worst.
You know, I mean, we're both big fans of Michael Elgin in the ring. I mean, obviously, there's some things that went on outside the ring where people may or may not like
him. Other stuff, and he's not the most exciting person on the microphone.
No, as exhibited on the settlement commercials today. But, yeah, Chico, thank you for your question. Hopefully, we'll get to see you soon. So make sure you're following Nikki Clamps on the Twitter machine. He'll definitely rant and rave about something. So unless he gets banned and he's got to set up a new account, but that happens too. So,
all right, do we want to do?
Let's do SJs.
We want to do SJs next. So SJs,
Phil, our social media specialist.
Do we want to come with three of our own, or are we just going to collab three of them?
Let's do three collab and then we'll see where we'll go from there.
So SJ's question is, we have a project makeover basically in the time machine. We got to reattire some wrestlers from 2014, but in the more of an 80s style and motif. Who are we revamping? What's the outfit looking like?
Oh, the 80s. I mean, I was old enough to, you know, remember the 80s when they happened, unlike you and SJ.
I was going to say, I wasn't even probably formed in my father's nutsack in the 80s, so.
No. I know Matt Taven, I mean, he's already kind of got like an 80s throwback look already anyways.
Taven Martini, yeah. Martini's got big 80s vibes too.
You know, I could see Matt Taven definitely fucking being the lead singer of
Martini wouldn't even have to change that much.
No. You know, Bang Tango or fucking Faster Pussycat or, you know, Faster Cinderella. Pussycat.
love Faster Pussycat.
I am also a fan. Yeah, that House of Pain song is probably one of my top favorite 100 songs.
Mm-hmm.
But that's definitely a podcast for another time. You know, and then you got Jimmy Jacobs. I mean, he's totally doing the retro 80s, you know, like The Cure, New Order, Joy Division kind of thing going on already. You know, he's got that that early Ministry, you know, look to him. So, yeah, I mean, I go with Taven, Truth, and Jimmy Jacobs.
What about the Briscoes? I'm pretty sure we brought it up in an older episode about having them wrestle other tag teams. So the prospect of the Briscoes and the Bushwhackers, I'm pretty sure, came up.
And the Bushwhackers were in, you know. And I've never seen them as the Sheepherders, but I guess they were pretty badass as the Sheepherders.
They just got toned down when they...
Yeah. That'd be fun to do, yeah. So the Briscoes versus fucking the, you know, the Sheepherders slash Bushwhackers would be fun, but...
So the Briscoes, right now, right there in, like, the kind of tattered camo shorts. If they're getting dolled up for the 80s, what are we thinking, more like a Sergeant Slaughter kind of thing? Or are they just getting, like, camo singlets?
Oh, that way. So we're, yeah. I'm thinking, like, outsider wrestling.
I believe part of the question was what would they wear?
Oh, to the ring. I could definitely...
If Ring of Honor was around in the 80s, how do you think some of the wrestlers would be dressed?
Okay. I could totally see Mark and Jay running in and, you know, camo singlets. You know, with some good old Sergeant Slaughter helmets and everything, so...
You said, yeah. You brought up Truth Martini. I mean, Truth Martini is just as is. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to say the look is timeless, but,
you know, but yeah, and then I think you just give Tave more 80s tassels, you know, and scarves.
More tassels.
Yeah, tassels and scarves. You know, they come out, you had like Cinderella, you know. So, because you like your 80s hair metal, don't you?
I sure do.
Okay, good.
I sure do.
That's a good thing. Well, as always, make sure you are following SJ, the Carnival of Chaos, on the Twitter machine, on the Facebook machine. She's probably on Instagram. I am not on Instagram, or I am on Instagram, but I don't know what it is. I know Will sends me stuff on Instagram all the time, but I never see it.
I do on the off chance that you decide to look at it.
Yeah, so usually
I might have a better chance of sending it to Faith than being like, show this to the home.
Yeah, Faith definitely better at Instagram than I am. But yeah, obviously huge shout out to SJ for all she does for us and everyone here at Visionaries Global Media. But we've got a twofer from the man Rob across the pond. Him and his train return with Dan is they're continuing their trek to Wembley. Will,
a lot of fucking people there. Sent you saw that I sent you, right? The interview with Simon Cowell when they're talking about putting out like the wrestling album, because he's like, they sold out Wembley. Like, we got to make an album. Like, people will buy that.
Yeah. I'm trying to like, well, I mean, because WWE didn't sell out Wembley, or did they? They didn't go back to Wembley too, did they?
They must have, because the album was like WWF Best of 90 or whatever.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I mean, they went to Wembley 92. That's the infamous Hitman first Bulldog match. First Bulldog's best match ever, probably, and he doesn't even remember it.
No, because he was fucking high off his ass, right?
Yeah. That's why Bret Hart is the man, no matter what Will says. So
listen, I'm underexposed. I'm underexposed to Bret Hart, who's oeuvre. I've seen like two Bret Hart matches, and neither of them were great because they were in like late two late aughts WWE. So he had a match with Vince McMahon at like a Mania or something like that.
Definitely want to check out Brett versus Owen at WrestleMania 10. And then Brett versus Mr. Perfect at SummerSlam 92. So I'll give you some.
And I've got to watch. I've got to watch the infamous, the match that inspired Double Turn by Cheap Pop.
Yeah.
The Austin Bret Hart.
Watch both of them. Yeah, the Double Turn and the one before that. So the one before is probably a tad better, personally. So.
Which, I mean, we're all music people, so I think they're based out of Chicago. Check out Cheap Pop. They haven't done anything in a while. They have an album called In Gorilla.
Nice. It's
very good. And then they have the Heartbreaker EP that was supposed to be part of a split with another wrestling-themed punk band called the Razor Ramones.
Hmm.
But that never came to the light of day. So Cheap Pop is a band. Their front woman, Jackie, was also in a publication. I don't know if we've talked about it on here before. It pretty much come up in the Discord, but there was a compilation of like essays. They're all about like women in wrestling, women in the wrestling scene. So she has something in there. She got her PhD in like wrestling studies or something like that.
Huh.
Or she did like her like doctorate, whatever have you, about wrestling. So very, very cool stuff. They have a song called Double Turn. That's one of the best songs on the album.
Hmm. Fair enough. All right, Will. Well, what's Rob's first question?
All right. So, at UTT Rob, on taking the territory, on putting the territory.
On stacking the territory.
He's slinging jack of potatoes and fire marshals left and right. So we'll go in order. So with all the talk of cars on episode 133, if they made a Ring of Honor version of Mario Kart, what 8 members of the Ring of Honor 2014 roster would be the drivers, and what would the power-ups be?
I have very limited Mario Kart knowledge. I have played Mario Kart on our Switch here.
So the power ups, like if we're gonna say, like if we're, so if he's saying like, I don't know if there's a 1-for-1 swap for all the power up things you can get. I feel like you can use like the streamers, could be one, because especially the other one, there's items that'll like block your screen, quote unquote.
Okay,
unless you can get a mushroom and like can dart out of it. So I mean, you can have streamers there instead of like the squid thing.
Huh.
It's tough too, is like the era of Ring of Honor we're watching doesn't do a lot of we don't see a lot of hardcore stuff. So I mean, it's just like tables, chairs, a lot of chairs.
Yeah,
we saw some trash cans this week.
Well,
I mean, I think it'd be just as funny to see him just sling the standard Mario Kart shells, banana peels.
Yeah.
But Tom, who, if you're coming up with a wacky racers of sorts with 8 Ring of Honor 2014 members, who is making the cut?
Well, once again, Mark and Jay.
I'm gonna say Mark Briscoe is a given. That's a 100%.
Kevin Steen, you know, I got a funny one.
Silas.
Yeah. He would definitely have like a tractor, like a riding lawnmower or something, you know, very manly.
We thinking, does a Roddy Strong, does he make the cut? Does Mr. ROH make it to the kart racer?
Definitely has like a convertible sports car like Tom Selleck. I've got my one big sleeper pick.
Does Artie Evans make your cut
for the Rocky Racers? That was my sleeper pick. So Artie Evans is definitely in there.
100 34-0 at the start of the summer heat.
Yeah, that may expand.
You'll have to keep listening to the episode to find out what happens with the greatest streak in pro wrestling.
Yeah, and speaking of summer heat, so I'm gonna go with Moose.
Ooh, Moose makes the cut, the newcomer.
Moose shows up in a big ass Harley. I can see Moose totally driving a Harley.
I hate to word it this way, but do we have a token woman appearance? Does Maria Kanellis or Veda Scott make it into the kart racer?
Because they have what, a Princess Peaches, right? Is one of them?
Yes. Probably Maria Kanellis, right? First lady of Ring of Honor, iconic champion. No. First ever woman iconic champion, Maria Kanellis.
I'm going to go with Mischief, just to be a smartass.
I'm fine with that.
Mischief also driving a Harley. So I can see Moose and Mischief just fucking running rampant on people.
Moose.
All right, got one more. Thinking.
Steve Corino.
Steve Corino and Cadillac.
I will say we're gonna get to it, but I really liked the commentary team that we had for Summer Heat of Steve Dombrowski, Steve Corino.
I was gonna be a smart ass and say who's Steve, but yeah, it's Joe Dombrowski. But yeah,
Joe. Oh, my bad.
Just because I've seen him a bunch for AAW, so that's how I know. And I've met Joe Dombrowski.
All right, my bad. I enjoyed it. All right, so we want to go into Rob's next question.
Yeah.
So the next question in this double-decker bus from across the pond, with all the talk of hunting on 134, the film Good Will Hunting contained the quote, "How do you like them apples?" If Carlito made a one-weekend run in Ring of Honor 2014, whose face would he spit apple in for not wanting to be cool?
Jay Lethal.
For not wanting to be cool.
Jay Lethal or BJ Whitmer?
I feel like if you're bringing him in for a weekend run, you got to give him, 2014... Yeah, Carlito would have already had his WWE run, whatever, he would have been out doing other stuff.
Carlito is actually pretty young yet still, isn't he?
He's not that old.
Yes, he smokes. Yeah, he's like only, it seems like he's been around for forever. But yeah, I say Jay Lethal. I could just see his reaction of just, totally selling the apple. And there's very few people besides BJ Whitmer who are more uncool, quote unquote, right now in Ring of Honor than Jay Lethal with Drew's Martini.
Right. So I like the idea of it being Jay Lethal or Truth Martini, right? Because there's something about, the spitting in the face, and that's the what would come out of that.
Right.
In the interest of picking somebody different, I would say let's go Michael Elgin. Let's say he shoots for the big dog.
All right.
Or Silas.
Oh yeah, that's
Silas. Silas gives him shit for eating fruit, and not a real manly treat like a Slim Jim.
Yeah, what kind of fruit eats an apple in a wrestling ring? Yep.
And your foofy hair.
Yeah, Elgin beef. I like both those answers.
Right, because it's tough too. Because if you're bringing somebody in for like a weekend run, like obviously you want to pair them up with like. a champion. So, I mean, if we had Jay Lethal, it's our TV champ. But, I mean, you could argue, like, right now, Elgin is kind of cool. Until he gets on the microphone.
Yeah. Guy can go in the ring. You know, that's the bottom line. So, but as always, make sure you're following Rob and Dan and all the un-quote-unquote territories that they're doing. So it's always good to see. Glad to have them back. I mean to message Rob. I don't know. For some odd reasons, this podcast isn't loading on my Apple iTunes, my Apple podcast. So I've been just listening on Spotify. So, and they have a beer sponsorship, Will. And with some of Rob's questions, it shows. And I mean that in a good way, by the way.
All right, now we're rounding out our questions of dishonor with the aforementioned question from the fifth wizard.
Yeah.
Shining well, Wizards, Brendan.
You know, the heart and soul of the Shining Wizards, you know.
You know, he's definitely there shining the wizards, you know what I'm saying?
Shining in the wizards.
This is Moose.
You know, and
shine in the wizards.
You know, and Brendan, I mean, we appreciate your kind words to us. I mean, we just, you know, you adopted us more than we adopted you, really. So it kind of, you know,
we appreciate right, largely unprompted, right? Like, we didn't really twist anybody's arm, and he just said, you know, I'm gonna send these guys a question every week.
Yeah, he offered, you know, it came up, and you know, he is the inventor of the Mark Briscoe National Treasure promo of the week, which we will eventually start doing sooner than later. But yeah, no, well deserved, Brendan. So I saw that and I got a little teary. So not as quite as teary as I am for Kevin Steen's last match, but we'll get to that. But do you have Brendan's question of dishonor? Because my phone's died.
So in the this was timely a little more when it was submitted last week with Blood and Guts happening this past Wednesday. Who would you have in tonight? This we talked before. So, where we're at now in 2014 Ring of Honor, would our 5-on-5 Blood and Guts match be? Brendan went Briscoe's, Elgin and Steen, and Taven versus Cole, Hardy, Bennett, Silas, and Lethal.
Interesting. I was gonna go with the decade.
That's kind of where I was leaning to. So I feel like that's what I think the most interesting 5-on-5 would be, right? Because it'd have to be the decade and the two young boys. And really kind of put them to the metal. Like, if you're gonna stick with these guys, then like you gotta.
But I was gonna do the decade with Red Dragon, so it'd be Jacobs, Whitmer.
Oh, so you're not using? See, I was thinking the decade, like all in the entirety. This is kind of like the final stand, where like if they want to align themselves with Jimmy Jacobs, BJ Whitmer, and Roderick Strong, like this is.
Yeah, but they keep having 6-man matches, so. X that. That'd be fun, but I mean, they're practically doing that anyways. But Red Dragon's definitely on the one team. You know, maybe we reunite, you know, Undisputed Era, even though it's after this. So you got Adam Cole, Bennett. So we'll do the Kingdom / you know, we'll do the Undisputed Kingdom. Who would their fifth be? I don't want to be Matt Hardy. Maybe I'm telling the future here, but maybe. No, I'm going Jay Lethal.
Okay, who do you pair off against Redragon?
So obviously it fits the Kingdom. Obviously you got Lethal there, so it's obviously Taven. And then you got Cole, so you put Michael Elgin. But and since you got Red Dragon, War Machine. And who's my fifth?
Who's my fifth? The ever unpredictable, and this is very timely, like Will said, because this match just happened. The National Treasure, Mark Briscoe. Sticking up for his brother, you know? So, yeah, that's what I got, Will.
Listen, I went with more of a, like, kind of ending the decade or cementing the decade and having it legit, like, it's a 5-on-5. And I would have them face the Briscoes. You bring back Caprice Coleman and Cedric Alexander together. And the fifth. And the easy answer would be ACH.
Yeah.
And that would be a hell of, that would be a hell of a match. Have we seen a lot of similar stuff? Yeah. But I mean, how we went through Scum, right? We saw the same iteration of Scum matches over and over again.
Yeah.
And they hit like a point where they did like a blood and guts thing to like wrap it up. And it's like, that's it. This is done. We're done. We're going to set somebody on fire. Nope, we're done.
Yeah. It's that person doesn't remember wanting to set the other person on fire. So.
Can't talk about it.
No. Didn't happen, so that's coming to a head next week.
Oh yeah.
All right. So yeah. So is ACH your final answer?
ACH will be my final answer.
Okay.
You know, this obviously probably wouldn't be like a super headliner on like one of like the big shows, but you know, if you throw that on like a on some like a summer heat or an after shot, yeah. The crowd would be into it.
Yeah, so yeah, because it's and then and we talk about it, but don't Lethal and Taven have a steel cage match coming up
at the Field of Honor?
Yeah, oh, which we won't see
for the TV title. Lethal Taven, if Taven wins, he also gets, I think they said, 5 minutes with Truth Martini.
Yeah, maybe we should track that down on Billy. I mean,
who would want 5 minutes with Truth Martini? I take 5 minutes of Sleazy Sparks myself, but yeah.
So, but yeah, once again, well deserved, Brundle. You are the man. I do like that you change your Twitter handle, so make sure you are following the Irish Misfit, Brundon of the Shining Wizards on Twitter. But Will, real quick before we jump into TV, just a shout out, obviously, real quick to everyone on Visionaries Global Media. Obviously, Nattering with E. Eric's pumping out some good content. Just had Matt on. I was doing some other shit, so Eric and I are combining up. Banned from Ringside. Hopefully we get some Phoenix Splash podcast with all the G1 stuff going on.
That's right. That started, right?
Yeah.
We're a ways into that now.
Yeah, it's they're 10 days in. Rumor has it, hopefully View from the top of the goalpost will be back up. I just saw Chad and Diesel in person. But obviously Good Cop, Bad Cop, Dungeons and Junkies. I'm going to suck my own dick here because my own podcast, but make sure you're checking out all the Midwestern Wrestling Roundup as we are previewing the Insane Eight. Another great conversation I had with the man of a thousand, son of a thousand maniacs, Tyler Sullivan. And I got Yanni, fuck you, Yanni, coming up here on Fridays. So, but yeah, make sure you're checking all the great shows here on the Shining Wizards Network.
And your new Lucha Underground one.
Oh yeah. Going under, dropping next Tuesday. The first four episodes of TV. Thank you, Will. So, yeah, we will talk to everybody after the break. So make sure you're checking all these great things on Shining Wizards.
The Shining Wizards is the greatest wrestling podcast of all time. Don't believe me? Tune in and check us out. We laugh. We cry. We interview some of the greatest people in professional wrestling. And we have some of the greatest segments of all time, including everyone's favorite wrestling game show, Can You Beat That? We're live 6:50 p.m. East on Monday night on all social media platforms. And we're with you wherever you go on every single streaming and podcasting platform as well. Check us out. Go over to ShiningWizards.com and join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
What's up, folks? It's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, inviting all of you to check out the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Join us as we cover all things current in the world of pro wrestling, as well as paying homage to the old school, the squared circle. So listen in and find out why we are the recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. Find us on all social media platforms and anywhere you get your podcast from. And as always, we are the proudest members of the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder. Because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Broadcast Podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Broadcast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcast, CastBox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
If you like your music heavy, then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is Radioactive Metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
All right, so hopefully everyone enjoyed that. And one of these days, you know, someday, you will hear a commercial by Will and I. You know, maybe once we hit episode 150, we'll actually do a commercial.
150? Do we celebrate a number like that?
I say we do, just to be.
Does Bad Dude Ito hate on us for doing something like that to celebrate 150?
I mean, you know. The United States did, so I'm going to. Yeah, the U.S. is actually going to celebrate 250 coming up here in under 2 years. But,
you know, speaking of U.S., like, I want to say shouts out to the USA women's rugby team.
Nice, yeah.
There's a very popular lady on the internet who's from Vermont on that team. She was, all her socials blew up. I'm blanking on her last name, and I don't have it up because that's just how I roll. That would involve notes. We don't do notes. I don't do notes. But shouts out to the U.S. Olympic women's rugby team. Got a bronze medal.
Rugby's a fucking tough sport. I don't have a lot of rules in life, but if I'm ever in a bar and there's Marines or rugby players, their first drink's always on me. Just saying.
Rugby is the closest you can get to like legally assaulting somebody and not having any repercussions for it.
Yeah, like I said, I had an old English teacher that was an old rugby player, and like said he had like bite marks on his ear from like in his ear bitten off from a fucking scrum. So, but yeah, so shout out to them. And I recently found out that Flavor Flav sponsors the U.S. women's polo team.
Yeah, because he found out a lot of the athletes still have to work multiple jobs on top of everything else, and he thought it was ridiculous.
So, yeah.
So, shout out to Snoop Dogg and Flava Flav living their best life at the Olympics.
Yeah. You know, so it's, you know, these men and women, yeah, there's some that make some money, but for the most part, man, these bust their ass. And, yeah, it's not easy. But, Will, we have, well, we're going to do part of the pay-per-view first here, as we are a little behind just because of my schedule, but summer
heat. Little summer heat.
In the hometown area of Big Dick Brett of the Brainbuster Boys. Went down July 18th, 2014. But yeah, as mentioned before, Steve Carino and Joe Dabrowski on the call and Scarlett on the mic. Will, are you kind of coming around to Scarlett as, I mean, no one's getting top Bobby Cruz. It's tough to watch
Ring of Honor. She's definitely improved.
Okay.
What did you think of the comment about how Nigel's her future ex-husband?
Tacky. You know, it's like, eh, that's low-hanging fruit. You know, that joke was fun 15 years ago, but you know, we'll kind of make this brief, but Nigel is back in his home, away from home. Like I said, Nigel really did cut his teeth in the Cincinnati area before he kind of broke through with the Ring of Honor. But now it's some changes to the cards. You know, announces it's...
He announced a bunch of changes to the card, which I don't love that. It's like, it's card subject to change. Like, just... He didn't drop any bombshells when he's like, oh, we're going to have a replacement for this match. It wasn't like he brought in, like, somebody big from the outside. It's like...
Yeah.
No, it's the same people we already have here.
Yeah, and then, but we do have Elgin and Roderick Strong. Steen in his second last match for Ring of Honor. Versus Silas Young, and Mike Bennett is out, so Cole has to find a new tag partner. But Alex Kozlov also couldn't make it. Romero is gonna be the match is gonna be next, and they do mention it's Rocky Romero and Tommaso Ciampa versus Red Dragon. What an interesting pairing. Will, what did you think of these two together before we get into the match?
I was instantly a little like kind of harumphy about this because it's like I thought they were gonna bring in like they could have tapped somebody else, like to bring in like kind of like some saucy, like, hey, one night only, you're gonna get Rocky Romero and whoever else is like, and Tommaso Ciampa. It's like, oh, so it's the one guy that we see all the time who wasn't already on the card.
See, I was kind of excited about that. I thought it was a good team up, but you know, they do mention Red Dragon is the most
well, they had glimmers, there's glimmers of hope,
yeah. But yeah, they are the most crowned tag team champions in Ring of Honor history, besides the Briscoe Brothers, obviously.
Hey, you know what Tony would say? That also means that they're fucking losers. That means they've lost it that many times too.
Yeah, I mean, Ric Flair's lost the belt more than anyone else. So, yeah, and then we get some random conversation about George Brett and hemorrhoids because Bobby Fish had a screwdriver in his shorts. Basically, these
times changing out the spark plugs in his mom's van before the
these two beat the two teams beat the piss out of each other. But obvious, you know, I'm gonna state the obvious, Red Dragon's got the experience edge. You know, Ciampa no sells the hug from Rocky, and there's big miscommunication. You know, on the hit chasing the dragon, Ciampa loses his shit, frustration boils over.
Yeah, so again, it gets choppy, right? After his match with Steen, he doesn't want to shake hands. He's kind of irritable and miserable after the match. And again, seeing more of that here.
Yeah. But you know, Red
Dragon. Do I owe you something?
Yeah. I love this Ciampa, so makes me happy. But you know, Will, you know, it's Red Dragon kind of moving up your list here of greatest tag teams. I mean,
oh, they were already towards the top. You know, I was already a big Red Dragon fan.
You know, if they weren't didn't have to go to Canada, they never would have lost the titles.
No.
So
if I ever get Bobby Fish to answer any question I want, I'd be like, what did you do? Why can't you go to Canada?
We should tweet at him. We should ask him. So,
or ask him, it's like, is it you or Kyle, the one who can't go to Canada?
Because I think Kyle showed up on a couple of events, but we shall see. Next match for the Ring of Honor TV title, even though this is not on TV, but Jay Lethal versus the Romantic Touch. You know,
sure, because it's on paper. The Romantic Touch was signed for the contract. So here we are. We get Romantic Touch's TV title match.
Yeah. It's funny. I got my notes here. Yes. I put RT, obviously, for Romantic Touch. Has great apps, but I meant abs. He really does have great abs, by the way. They're not Finn Balor, but they're pretty goddamn close. But yeah, this match went pretty long. I was kind of surprised in a good way, you know, because it's pretty rare that the Romantic Touch gets to shine like this.
Yeah, got a nice long match, right? We're playing up like Lethal and Martini are sure that yep. Matt Taven is actually the Romantic Touch, despite it's tough, right? Because then we got to piece together like when was stuff taped, when did stuff actually happen? Because we see it, they mentioned it on the TV episode too. It's like, oh well, how do we, I guess we now know that they're not the same person. We've already seen that they're not the same person.
You know, and shout out to Will for his sweet tweet. I really enjoyed the one where, like, people that could possibly Romantic Touch tweet.
So. Yeah, so during the course of this match, because of some offense, the dropkick, Steve Corino said it could be Jim Brunzel. Could be a Razor Ramon, because he busted out a Razor's Edge.
Yeah.
Never before seen by the Romantic Touch.
So good. You know, I really do like that that Truth Martini's kind of leaning into this a little bit with the braids. You know, so he's kind of rocking the braids, but you know, and Lethal does go for the Lethal Injection, and Red Titus does drop kick him in the back, so I don't know why he wouldn't keep
doing so that. So good.
But in the end, Jay Lethal just rips off the mask and gets the win.
That should have been a disqualification.
Yeah. You know, it's good according to Steve Corino, who enjoys Jay Lethal's mother, but not so much his father, so
Him stumbling over that line. I don't remember if it was on this show or if it was on the TV episode where he's trying to get out that he wishes he didn't like hate his father. So
yeah.
It would have had to have been on this because Steve wasn't on commentary for TV because he's getting ready.
Yeah. But like Will mentioned, our next match, we do have ACH and CNC Wrestle Factory versus Jacobs, Whitmer, and Adam Page this time. You know, and Page is really starting to show of signs of what's to come. Obviously, when you do a podcast, you know, from 10 years in the past, you kind of have the benefit of foresight. But, obviously, adrenaline rush here is starting to crack as ACH and Tadarius Hill Thomas. But the decade hit the all-seeing eye, which I do like their win. And, you know, another fun match. But, I mean, we've seen this, you know, this combination how many times at this point. But, you know, and I love Caprice, but I really wish they would just let Cedric and Caprice go their separate ways. I know it's really their first time kind of tag teaming since the split, but just let Cedric cook. But we'll get to that, Will. But
we will.
Next, Kevin Steen's second last match in Ring of Honor. Obviously, this has been brewing for a while. You know, Silas has been fucking dogging on Silas's, you know, around Steen's kids and whatnot. So,
yep, show your son to be a quitter just like you.
Yeah. Classic. And as Will, it also was stepping up his tweet game and showed Kevin lots and lots of streamers.
Yeah, but that was from the week before.
Yeah, but he also got a lot of streamers here.
He got a lot here too. They should have done more because, as we all know, Silas hates streamers.
Yeah. But man, Silas is over. You know?
Oh, no doubt. Silas has been over from day one.
Yeah, which is good to see. You know, and listen, once again, you know, it's, I'd like to know how this works. Because I mean, obviously these two beat the piss out of each other. And Kevin Steen's taking these big fucking bumps, but you know, he's got life-changing money in his sights. You know, so I don't know how that works. I mean, obviously you want to go out on top.
Oh, yeah, the stack of chairs.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh.
But we did get Evil Steen for a little bit. That was good to see. But as always, anytime Kevin Steen grabs a mic during a match, awesome. But Silas takes a fucking beating here for a while. But yeah, like Will said, the chair pyramid on the Steen build, but Silas puts him through it for the win. So Silas takes most of the damage in the match, but that ends up getting the win here, Will.
Yeah,
so.
he body slams him into the stack of chairs and then hits Misery. He does the roll through on top of the chairs and hits Misery for the win. Now, we talked a little bit about it. So he went over on Ciampa. These are all matches he picked. So he went over on Ciampa. Leading into Ciampa kind of being kind of more surly after the matches. Now, Silas Young has a world title shot coming up, so we're keeping him looking strong. Does Kevin Steen go over Steve Corino in the final match? Tom, the very first episode of this, well, the first episode I did it with you on this show, we covered Final Battle. 2010 or 2011, whatever it was.
That's fun. That's a very good point, Will. I meant to mention that. We are bookending
their fight without honor.
Yeah, was really the first match we covered. And Will, I kind of owe you an apology. I think we said this on air, but yeah, you're right. So that it's not their Carino and Steen is not at Laurel. It is in Dearborn, Michigan.
It's at this round of tapings.
Yeah, because it's got, I'm looking at the Think Steen Thinks t-shirt and lists his last three dates. So if anyone, shout out to my friend Tristan, if anyone can find us some Think Steen's Steen shirts, I'll buy two of them. And I'm not just saying that because Kevin Steen said he'd buy two.
If there was a Thanks Hopkins Thanks t-shirt, I would buy at least two.
But real quick here, another Kevin Steen promo. You know, as we get, I'm gonna get a little emotional, but I hope everyone enjoys that Kevin Steen promo, right?
And Silas drops Steen on the chairs.
Thanks, Steve.
Sweat Palace, I actually believe that you will this game.
For your ear holes, what we got next? So we got a four-way match, Will.
We do, but we got a little four-corner survival
with Ethan Gabriel Owens versus Moose versus Taven. Oh, and also Hardy Evans,
134-0.
Yes,
and he calls out Moose. He said he's beating Lawrence Taylor.
And Steve McMichael, two former football players turned wrestlers.
That's right. So he's got it out for Moose. Not as much as Ramon has it out for Moose.
Yeah.
Which I'm curious to see how they loop that around. Because, I mean, we saw his twin, Stokely Hathaway, tag team with Moose. A future of honor.
Yeah.
But so Ramon is not a Moose guy.
No. Not
it. Tom, were you concerned for the streak?
I mean, anytime Hardy Evans, I mean, it's not like he's shying away. You know, he's going to battle. You know, I was a little nervous, you know. It's, you know, does it count for a loss if he doesn't get pinned, or, you know, how's that work?
I'm surprised they didn't chalk this up. I mean, I guess spoiler for the end. That he only treated it as one win, and he didn't treat it as he beat three other people.
See, I think that's bullshit. So I have list as 137 or no. But yeah, Hardy Evans does come away with a win here.
I want to go back to start. I love the opening bit where it's the handshake, and he goes down, like he's like on the mat, and they're doing like they're checking his hand from the other hand being in the handshake.
There was a fun spot in the match when they had the four-way sleeper, but, you know, honestly, Will, for these four, I can't imagine they have a lot of experience together, but these four really had good chemistry together.
I mean, Moose is obviously the standout here, right? Like,
yeah, but I mean, you got Ego, and it's cool to see that Ego is getting a lot of...
He looked really good in this match, but when I think of like what jumps out to me besides the handshake spot, because that stuff, again, it's funny stuff. It cracks me up. Moose did a drop kick and I was like, fuck me. That son of a bitch nailed Ethan Page with a drop kick.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Ethan Gabriel Owens, all Ego.
But yeah, in the end, Truth screws Taven, and then Taven runs after him. Moose goes for the spear on RD Evans, but he dodges, hits Ego with a DDT for the win. And like I said, they said 135, but he beat three people. So RD Evans is 137-0. Yeah. I'm really kind of bummed that we'll talk more off air, but I found
I know you spoiled the ending. I mean, I feel like the breadcrumbs are there to see where this is going.
Yeah. Now, and when we found out about it, I was like, how's that going to work? But now we kind of know. But our next match, though, Will, the definition of a slobber knocker, Dem Boys versus War Machine. And if there are two tag teams in this world
stiff
that are made for each other, it's these four, or these two teams, four gentlemen. So I'm kind of stoked to see where this feud leaves. I don't have a lot of notes just because this match fucking ruled.
I don't think the ringside mics are that good, but you hear every hit.
Yeah.
At, like, the point where Hansen has Jay across the top of the corner and he's just like, the forearm shots.
Yo.
They sound like chops.
Yeah, it's...
Jay Lethal, or not Jay Lethal, Jay's throwing headbutts. Like, this is... I mean, they... Dombrowski put over Ray Rowe a lot. You know, talk about how he's slimmed down a lot. His style has changed a lot. He's adapting more of like a varied style, more strikes. He used to be a big suplex guy. Mixed martial arts.
You know, and obviously we are big fans of all four of these guys. You know, and they even kind of mention in here, you know, what's going to happen. You know, if one of these teams loses, but you know, War Machine, you know, for a team that's obviously rather young, they have really good chemistry. They had a lot of fun tag team moves.
That's something where when that match happened during the top prospect tournaments, they probably already knew in the back. They're like, we got to pair these guys up after.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to.
I don't know if it was intended to be, but it kind of felt like there was a little bit of a shout out to New Hampshire's own Gigi Allen. The Briscoe clans, Tom, they like to drink, they like to fight, and they like to make children.
Yeah. I'm just going over War Machine's cage match here.
Oh, yes, the Viking Experience. The War Raiders!
You know, so I mean, it doesn't look like they were really tagging. I mean, it was all Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
So it's not like they had experience.
I don't know how much they would have crossed paths prior to that. So.
Oh, I hope we get to see this match. War Machine versus the Killer Elite Squad: Davey Boy Smith Jr. and Lance fucking Archer.
That's a match.
Yeah,
sounds like a must see.
Yeah, almost all their matches are in Ring of Honor till later on. So yeah, I mean their fucking chemistry was great. But like Jay Will kind of alluded to, you know, and they kind of telegraphed it in commentary. But Adam Cole, Jay Lethal come out here causing disqualification. So it's nice to know that neither teams lost. But they started fighting. But Cole and Lethal, interesting combination. But the Addiction come out and make the save. In our next match, we find out Adam Cole's tag team partner tonight is the TV champion, Jay Weefolf.
Right, they couldn't get anybody else, so they picked a guy who had already had a match on the card.
Yeah. You know, but Frankie Kazarian is really a fucking freak of nature. I mean, at this point, both these guys are in their early 40s.
Frankie, he's one of those guys, when people ask me who, like, my favorite wrestlers are, he comes to mind a lot. And I haven't necessarily seen a ton of his work. But he is so good.
Yeah. It's
no, he didn't see your tits.
You know.
You're welcome.
It's he's got that bridge suplex pin on combination on Cole. You know, and honestly, Cole and Lethal look good together. But obviously eventually the Dem Boys chased them out. Maria, you know, and much to the chagrin of the crowd. But yeah, Cass hits the cutter and we get a best moonsault ever on Lethal. And I think they had mentioned somewhere in here that it's they're called the Addiction.
So they didn't say the team is called the Addiction, but they did use that word.
Okay.
They said that them teaming together
was like an addiction.
gave him a feeling like an addiction. So it's like, oh, they're laying out that truth. Kind of like what they did with the kingdom, where like they kind of like made references like, oh, this is like the kingdom, like this is like, oh, we're gonna call them the kingdom. See, we're easing into it.
Yeah.
Because they alluded to that Kazarian and Daniels have tagged in other places. But they're just addressed as Kazarian and Daniels, because Kazarian, this is his first kind of stint in Ring of Honor.
Yeah. So
he's so good.
Yeah, and obviously Christopher Daniels is a Ring of Honor legend, but you know, and then them boys and then War Machine comes out. But Will, things are starting to look up. I wish we could throw the Bravado Brothers here in the mix. But obviously, you know, the Young Bucks are kind of waiting in the wings. You got Red Dragon, we got the Briscoes, we got the Addiction, we got War Machine.
Tag, I'm here for it. Tag team wrestling.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good time. But our main event, it's funny. In my notes here, I've got Roddy versus Strong. Obviously, it's Elgin versus.
You're close.
versus you know, it's Elgin versus Roddy, and you know, Michael Elgin once again not shying away. You know, he's taking on all comers, former champs, you know, number one contenders.
I'm kind of surprised. I don't remember them bringing it up on commentary. I don't remember them bringing up the fact that they were in House of Truth together at all.
Yeah, I didn't. I have it in my notes. Obviously, that these two have history, but I don't think they really met. It was just kind of odd, but you know, and Elgin's all, you know, want to be champ. You know, wants to make his mark. You know, and Steve Corino mentions that this is what a title match should be, and you know, these two were fucking amazing. I mean, their chemistry is great. And Roddy, for a dude his size, is deceptively strong. He's not Michael Elgin strong, but he's pretty fucking close. I mean, obviously, Roddy's a stud athlete. Don't get me wrong, but
right, like I think it's because you're so focused on the cardio and stamina for Roddy Strong that you don't necessarily think about how strong he actually is, because he's not built like a powerhouse guy. You know what I mean? Like, he's not, you know, he's not shredded. He's does, you know, he's not like bulky.
Yeah.
And like, even though we talked about the Romantic Touch having the abs, like he doesn't even really have abs, but like he is like peak athletic, like all around.
Yeah.
Also appreciate that right off the bat. And you know, this, for me, sets apart. It's happening before. Roddy sends the young boys away a lot when he has matches.
Yep.
So like, he starts coming down. He tells Paige, you know, go to the back. Oh, like, I don't need you. I got like title match time. This was a really good match, Tom.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a lot of notes because it really didn't need it.
You but know, Roddy hit three Gibson drivers in a row.
Yeah.
Two in the ring and then one outside.
They rolled him back in.
Rolled him back in. And, you know, Roddy kicked out of the Elgin Bomb.
Yep. But yeah, but then Michael Elgin, puts on a front face lock into the knees.
Yeah, he puts on the cross facing he's been doing, and then he pulls a page out kind of a la Eddie Edwards. How Eddie Edwards would put on the single leg crab and stomp on the head.
No.
He does like these knee drops to the head, and it's like,
yo.
It's like, first it's like it's more of like an MMA finish thing kind, but it's like, why are more people doing that? It's like, that's like a guaranteed win.
Yeah. And then puts him in, like you said, like the crossface. And
yeah, he goes back in the crossface, and it's Todd Sinclair, right? He checks him right away, and it's like Roddy's out. Right?
Yeah. And like, Will's a great match. You know, I mean, these two are fucking studs. You know, Michael Elgin thanks the crowds, you know, and says they could have gone anywhere, but they came and shown, you know, he puts over Roddy as Mr. Ring of Honor. And, you know, this is a straight match. You know, there wasn't a lot of chicanery, like you said. You know, we sent the young boys away. There was no. It was awesome. Yeah, it was, you know, I don't know if we're going to call it a match of the year contender, but I don't see why not. anytime you put these two together, but you know, and Will, it's our first pay per view in high def.
Yeah.
So
said, I thought this was a good show. I was happy with it. I like Dombrowski and Carino together on commentary. I thought it was a great team. It was consistent too. Like I felt like their kind of stances and whatever were like consistent thing. Like they're both so good at what they do.
Yeah.
It wasn't a thing where, because when it first started, I'm like, oh, there's no Kevin Kelly. But I didn't miss Kevin Kelly. Like I was happy with the pair of them, because okay. it was a different energy.
Yeah,
and it was like two guys who known each other for a while. You know, there's enough jokes. You know, like Kareem kept saying that Kevin Kelly was Dombrowski's father.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a Dombrowski. I don't know why. I probably should be. I just probably have heard him so much. But yeah, I mean, I can buy everything you're selling here. So yeah, a lot of fun. You know, we are definitely trending upwards. We are about to lose a big person, but a lot of good things coming up here in the mix. But Will, next we have Ring of, well, speaking of 150, we've got Ring of Honor TV episode 150. You know, they didn't do a celebration for it. Original air date, August 2nd, 2014. Not much.
They were born in Michigan.
Yeah. You know, they're back on the HD train here. They're still in Dearborn. You know, we got Kevin Kelly and Nigel McGuinness on the call because, like you mentioned earlier, Carino is preparing for his match with Steen. But basically, this match is going to be the full Golden Gauntlet where the winner gets the Ring of Honor title shot. As announced last week, we'll kind of go through the match here real quick. Caprice and BJ start off, and Caprice did all he could, but till Lariat finished him off. So BJ goes on. And then real quick, we had a promo with The Addiction, CD and Kaz, with a very pulp culture laden promo. Shout outs to the Beastie Boys. There's one other one. And then
the Reddest of Dragons.
Yeah. And then Kazarian was like, business, or I don't know, that was...
Business.
Yeah, that one kind of missed for me, but, you know, Elgin's not nearly as good at selling the General Motors settlements as Mark is, but, I mean, who
he,
really...
He does? Plays it too straight.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you see that with Jay Lethal when he ends up doing, like, the copper sleeve ads.
Yeah.
Need back pain bringing you down.
Yeah. But next we got Matt Taven. So it's Matt Taven versus BJ Whitmer. And obviously Taven's been using Moon a lot, but he finishes it off with Climax. And then we get Romantic Touch versus Matt Taven. So it does
Oof, that they are two different people.
You know, but Taven and Romantic Touch were friendly at first, but obviously, you know,
yeah, they do like a high 10, right? They do like the high fives. And then again for the handshake, but they go for a hug. But Romantic Touch rolls through to us to a roll up.
Yeah.
And Taven is like, how could you? Romantic Touch, you know, motions like, I want that title belt.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I think, you know, I didn't time it at all, but I really think that these two got the most. But once again, another Climax DUT to finish off Titus. Then we get Jay
Lee. I love. Taven went for a springboard off the ropes to the inside, and Romantic Touch like turned around and drop kicked him out of the air. Looking back, like I kind of scoffed a little, like when the Big Show started doing just like the punch,
yeah,
as a finishing move. But it's like, but if you've got a really good move, it's like. Like when you think about it, like a drop kick is not like a schmuck move. Like it takes a lot. So I mean, you're a guy that size, like your drop kick should be something that could be like.
Yeah. Well, like we mentioned earlier with Moose, you know.
I could not believe when he did, I did the double take. It's like that mother, he did not just drop kick. He sure did. He got the height and everything.
Yeah. And a Romantic Touch, man. Really, you know, his drop kick is almost as good as Red Titus's.
It's very similar. You know, they must have learned it from the same guy.
Yeah, after that we get Jay Lethal, and then And then they mentioned here Jay Lethal and Taven are getting in the cage soon. Right,
this, are you surprised they didn't have this? I mean, we're at the point where we're going to be talking about the ending anyway, but were you surprised that they didn't have this be the end? And because this wasn't the final matchup, did that give away who the winner was going to be?
Now, I was still kind of surprised just because a simple fact of who it is. And I liked who the winner was. I don't know.
I like the stare down on the ramp where, like, Lethal, Sparks, and Martini are, like, all on the ramp. And Lethal is just, like, looking at him. And Taven's like, I'm ready. Like,
let's go, motherfucker.
Let's go. And Lethal's like, I got nowhere to go.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, these two go to war.
What do we think about no call being made for Silesia throwing Lethal back in the ring?
You know, would you call Silesia Sparks on that? If you were a ref?
Oh, I'll give her a call. When she sees me in the CPAP machine, game over.
But the difference maker here, though, is the...
speaking of game over...
The unofficial newest member of the House of Truth who's been interfered a few times, Jay Diesel, who was sitting right next to Carino and Dombrowski Kevin Kelly and Nigel the whole time. Kevin Kelly was not happy, but interferes and, Taven's eliminated.
Yeah, you missed the spot, though. You missed the most important part where Sleazy was sizing up Taven and so is Martini with the Book of Truth. And he threw Silesia Sparks into Truth Martini, and he's out. And she kind of half-assed carried him up to the ramp. She didn't walk him up the ramp. She dropped him on the ramp and helped pick him up again.
He's bad in a good way.
So, Field of Honor, TV title in a steel cage.
Yeah.
And so if Taven wins, he gets a couple minutes alone with Truth Martini.
So, yeah, that's not on Honor Club, so maybe we got to track that down in the Billy.
Even just that match. I mean, the card looked great, but even just for that match.
I mean, you got a four-way match with, Styles, Elgin, Cole, and Elgin, Cole, Briscoe, and Styles. But Will, our final entrant in the Golden Gauntlet.
Cedric Alexander.
The aforementioned Cedric Alexander. And obviously Jay Lethal's a little bit, beat up at this point, so that kind of gives him a little excuse, but Cedric wins with a lumbar check. And Will.
That was a fucking lumbar check to end all lumbar checks, too. Like, Lethal sold the hell out of that.
Yeah. And, obviously these two did awesome. We're big fans of Cedric here. I know it's a little sparse, but Will, we get Cedric versus Elgin. Finally. Sign me the fuck up for this. We don't know when, we should say he gets a title shot. We don't even know if Elgin's still going to have the belt, so we assume it's Elgin.
Silas Young is in line for a title shot as well.
Yeah. Elgin comes out, does the whole, this is my belt, blah, 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 and yeah, dude. So, interesting, it's always good having Nigel and Kevin Kelly on the call. It was just the one match, but you really got five matches for TV. I thought it was well done, compared to some of the similar things they've done this way. But, I think I enjoyed this, Will. How about you?
I didn't mind it. I think the ending was great. Like I said, I'm fine with the ending. I was initially confused because I thought that having it end with Lethal and Taven would have been a good way to go about it too, but I'm happy to see Cedric get a title shot, long overdue. Especially now that he's kind of past like all the decade shenanigans, so hopefully that doesn't factor into his title shot.
Yeah.
They're pushing that Field of Honor show.
Yeah, for sure.
And Best in the World. Their first time on actual pay-per-view.
Yeah, so
call your local cable provider.
I think we've definitely seen our fair share of you know, interesting Ring of Honor. I'm glad that Fighting February did not kill us 2 years ago. I'm glad we kind of stuck this out, but I think we're starting to trend upwards, Will.
The TV and stuff has been great. Like I said, the picture quality's been great. I think the overall quality, even if stuff doesn't necessarily like check off all the boxes, like even people like Truth Martini have been awfully palatable.
Yeah.
Lately.
Yeah, and like I said, I know you're not a big Lethal fan, but he's been a lot of fucking fun.
It's all exposure, right? You know, we could get through this podcast to whatever year this ends, and I could be a Jay Lethal guy. It's an underexposure thing, you know? It's like, I'm interested to see the rise of Matt Taven, because when I saw Matt Taven around this time, it was again, Matt Taven. And then to find out later, he became like the guy and was like a cornerstone of the product. It's like, well, the Matt Taven I saw on TV, like that kind of like generic guy became like the guy. You know, so we're going to see it. There's a lot of Jay Lethal to see. So,
yeah, spoiler alert. I mean, Jay Lethal is the last match we're going to cover.
Yeah.
Jay Lethal main evented the final battle.
That match. I get why it happened. Spoiler alert for the final episode of Ring of Honor Revelry. That match didn't really hit for me.
No.
I think that it could have been made out to be a lot more.
Yeah, and there was a lot. Yeah, a lot went into that. But
I mean, a lot was working against it, too.
But
spoiler for however many years from now when we cover that.
Yeah, we're it's 7 years from now, so it'll be here before you know it.
Oh, I might not even be alive by then. Who knows?
We better be. Should I be
you'll have to bring on somebody else to round out the series if I tap out.
Well, no, I mean, let's not cross this bridge at all. You know,
she might strangle me with the hose for the seat bat when she in my sleep.
Yeah, or just plug it up or something. But anyways, Will, things are trending up. So we thank you to everybody. Obviously, thank you, Rob, for both questions of Dishonor. Obviously, you know, shout out to everyone on Visionaries Global Media. Shout out to everyone on the Shining Wizards Network. Shout out
to other listeners. You know, Scott George.
Yeah, Scott George.
Scott George again today at work. And, you know, with my new work schedule, Scott George and I are going to be on opposite schedules. So today, as we recorded, or actually yesterday, because it's now after midnight, July 31st might be the last time I see Scott George while I'm at work.
Yeah. So.
But Scott, thank you for listening. He said he was also starting to listen to more of the Midwestern Wrestling Roundup.
Oh, really? Nice. Okay.
So, thank you, Scott, for supporting all of our endeavors.
I mean, every show, I mean, not to suck around dicks, but really, you can't go wrong with any show on the Visionaries Global Media. Yeah, maybe I'm not into Dungeons and Dragons, but you know what? Matt, Chad, and everybody do a great job. You know, Band from Ringside's awesome. You know, Good Cop, Bad Cop, huge supporters of our show. Matt and I got some stuff coming up here, you know, in the near future. Matt was just on Eric's show, you know, and hopefully Eric continues with his Vietnam stuff. But yeah, really can't go wrong, you know.
Yeah, the music that came out and that is about the Vietnam War is there's a lot of great stuff to go through and like stuff to unpack and look at.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, Will and I don't mention this very often, but make sure, you know, it'd be interesting to hit us up. It'd be interesting to see what feed you're listening to us on. You know, if you're listening to the Shining Wizards Network, make sure you're following Visionaries Global Media. Or if you're listening on Visionaries Global Media, make sure you are following the Shining Wizards Network. But, you know, I mean, reach out to us, you know. Well, you know, Will and I don't do this very often. Maybe, you know, tell all your friends, you know, subscribe or whatever. I mean, all that good stuff. I don't know any of that shit, but like, share, or whatever.
Shoot us a message either at the ROH Revelry page or either one of us personally, you know, at W Mercer Jr. at
Hi, number five, Tom. You know, tell us you like us. Tell us we suck. Tell us we gotta get the show on the road. Tell us, you know, you want marathon episodes.
Yeah, or if you want shorter episodes, and if you do, well, too fucking bad. So
it's like we're trying.
I mean, yeah, we're not too bad. We're gonna be under 90 minutes this time. So considering we, you know, we're both fucking exhausted and on a short week, but
we try to keep the episodes to like a Tony Z approved length.
Yeah, but we don't record at a Tony Z approved time. So I mean, he would not be, you know,
we do not. Change.
You know, Will and I might be recording in the daytime in the future, so it'll be interesting to see the transition if that happens, but we'll talk about that later. But Will, as always, my friend, thank you for being accommodating. See you for a
check,
watch.
Check out the shows. It's already happened. It's coming on, but happy 700 episodes. Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Yeah.
I was not a day one. I'm not like Matthew Birch, who remembers all the way back to a Tunga Bunga, the introduction of Kevin Joseph Garifo.
Yeah, unfortunately, my introductory episode, like I mentioned before, has been scrubbed from the archives, unfortunately, but friend all of the Shining Wizards Network, rumor has it, Miko Maestro is set to make his ICW Milwaukee debut sometime this year.
You know, he has coke now, so.
And that, well, I'll just leave it at that. On that note, Will, I'll see you next week, my friend.
See you next week.
This has been a Visionaries Global Media production. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.